Number 15, Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter number 15. We'll read verses 1 through 10 responsively this morning. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2, all the way through verse number 10. Luke chapter 15, verses number 1 through verse 10. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which needeth no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth."
And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us today. Help us as we open your words. These are not man's words, they're your words. These weren't the thoughts of God put into the mind of a man. These are your words given word by word to us. Help us to investigate them rightly, to divide them so that we can apply them to our lives today. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. 49 years ago, I got saved. 53 years ago, I was an American citizen. Amen. Born in America.
Amen.
That's more than some of our candidates can say.
Amen.
I realize that I am a human being like you are. I think I said this in the truck on the way down or back from fishing yesterday. A church and a preacher, it's a little different relationship. A church is one sinner talking to other sinners, telling about the only sinless one so we can be better Christians. Don't think that this preacher is something he's not. I'm made out of the same flesh you're made out of. I'm just as much a sinner as somebody else, but God put a calling on my life to where my life's work is trying to help people. I'll be honest with you, I love people. I love people very deeply. Sometimes people don't understand principles and ethics that go with it, but I promise you, I love people. I weep. My heart's broken as I look over here at Rayetta. My heart's broken as I look at some of the heartaches. Think of Brother Bob and some of the health issues he's had. I look through this crowd and see ladies who have lost babies. I see older folks that struggle with their health and finances. I see marriages that have been struggling at times and now are seemingly good. Oh, we rejoice when Josh and Lisa have their baby, or Heather and John had their baby here just a week or so ago. But folks, life's a veil of tears. There's a lot of heartache.
Yes,
I want to help you today. I really do. I mean this. We got it printed on the sign. We say it all the time. This church is a hospital, not a museum.
Right.
It's a place where people come get help. We're not going to put somebody on display. It's not a show. This is the real deal, and thank God for it. But if you're looking for a church that's perfect, we're not it.
Right.
We're a church full of sinners. Thank God. It's the only hope we got. We're all sinners. So I want to help you today. I'm going to start as a little bit of a Bible study, and then I'm going to preach for just a few minutes at the end of it. Here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us three stories. Sometimes the word is parable. The word parable is story. Whether they're true, whether they're just made up as an illustration, we don't know. But if Jesus spoke it, obviously there was truth involved. If it's amazing how many times that the word parable and doctrine are in the same parable. They'll talk about the doctrine and then he'll use a parable about that doctrine. So often parables are teaching doctrine. But let me give you a quick rundown of Luke chapter 15. Verses 3 through 7, you have the parable of a lost sheep. Man has 100 sheep. He has them together. He looks out. There's one. It's gone. He leaves the 99 in the protection of the wilderness to go find the lost one. He brings it back. He gets his sheep back to the shelter for the evening. And he said, look, I found my lost sheep. Let's all rejoice together. Then, verses 8 through 10, you have the story of a lady who had 10 coins and she lost one of them. Those aren't that wasn't her pocket change. Those 10 coins represented a dowry for her wedding. They were very expensive coins. Her husband had paid her dowry, and they were to keep these coins kind of like a retirement insurance policy. And that's what it was paid for. They were to be kept. Often they were gold coins that were very valuable. Thousands and thousands of dollars each. The Bible says that she lost one of those coins. So what did she do? She lit a candle and she started sweeping the house. I don't know if that means she was a bad housekeeper or not. The Bible doesn't say. But it does say she kept sweeping and sweeping and looking until she found it. Then she called her neighbors together and said, look, thanks for helping. Thanks for praying. I found my lost coin. And then for the rest of the chapter, verses 11 through 32, you have the story of the prodigal son. How a man had two sons, a very successful businessman. One came to his dad and said, Dad, I want my inheritance. I'm going to leave the family business. Give me what's mine now, and I'm going to take off and break off and do my own thing. Man gave him his inheritance and he went out and the Bible says he wasted his life in riotous living. Oh, he was a partier. He had the drugs, he had the women, he had the fast camels, cars. He had all those things and one day the money ran out. And can I tell you something? You don't buy friends, you rent them. When you depend on money for friends, you're not buying them. You're just renting them till the money runs out. I promise you. And the money ran out, and here's this Jewish boy in a foreign land and said, well, I guess I got to go to work. But he couldn't find a job. Now, you got to understand, he got a job at a farm slopping pigs. Now think how disgusting that was to a Jewish person. They're not even allowed to be around pigs. And here he is, slopping hogs, and the food that he got to eat was the husks of the corn that the pigs wouldn't even eat. You know that stuff you peel off, the ears of corn? That's what he got to eat. How'd you like to eat on that a while? That's being pretty hungry. I mean, that's almost as hungry as Brother Juan was last night when before we stopped. And he had already had four sandwiches yesterday and raided everybody else's lunch on the boat. Three sandwiches, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was only three. He's going, okay, sorry, all right? You had one in the morning, though, all right? Didn't you? All right, so you had four sandwiches. I wasn't lying, was I? All right. Now, wait a minute. I mean, I think it was Brother Steve said, "Preacher, if we don't hurry up, I could eat the north end of a southbound bear." He was getting pretty hungry. Now, I'd have to be pretty hungry to want to eat corn husks. I know some of y'all smoked them, but I'm not going to eat them, though, all right? So you have these three stories. Most of my life, and I grew up in church. I'm 53 years old. I'll be 54 next May. I've been going to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I've grown up in church. I got saved at 4 years old in a junior or in a primary church in Canton, Ohio. I've told the story before. God called me to preach at an early age. I started preaching over 40 years ago now. I was 13 years old. Matter of fact, long before then, God started bothering me, but I didn't give in until I was 13 years old. Surrendered to preach in Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua, Mexico, doing some missions work. My youth director, God bless him. I surrendered to preach. He said, "Good, you're preaching tomorrow." You know, I couldn't find anything in that entire book to preach the next day. Thinking, man, there's so many words in here. Where do you start? You know, I got up and I preached for about 10 or 12 minutes. I preached about how that we're in a foreign country watching people get saved, but how come we had to drive so far to see people that needed to get saved when there's people that walk across the parking lot of our church that need to get saved? I haven't stopped preaching it for 40 years, Brother Mike. I can't explain it. But I tell you this, God's good. I'll take what we got over what the world has any day. I grew up hearing that this parable of the lost sheep is about how people get saved. That you'd leave everybody just to get one person saved. Well, if you were here Wednesday night, there's a difference in being saved and salvation. I want you to notice the words that are used here over one sinner that repenteth. You don't stop being a sinner once you get saved. That repentance isn't changing from trusting yourself in your own righteousness to trusting Jesus. This is your personal repentance, your personal works here. Let me ask you a question. Let's talk about the first story. God calls Christians what animal in the Bible?
Sheep.
Ooh. God calls the Christian a sheep. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 10. Let me show you. Say, "Preacher, where do you get that out of the Bible?" John chapter 10, look at verse number 11. John chapter 10, verse number 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." If you go through the rest of these verses, it talks about the Christian being a sheep. All right, turn to John chapter 21. The very last chapter of the book of John. John chapter 21. Look at verse number 15. John chapter 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." A lamb is what kind of animal? It's a small sheep. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." So God calls Christians sheep. Look at me. I find nowhere in the Bible where God called lost people sheep.
That's right.
Not one place.
I'm
not saying it's wrong to use this parable in reference to people getting saved. If somebody would get saved, I'm for it.
Amen.
But I think the primary teaching here is to saved people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God is our shepherd. Isn't that what Psalm 23 is all about? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We'll come to that here in just a moment. So here's this shepherd, and he has 100 sheep, but he does his evening count and one's missing. If you understand the, I'm not one of these Greek intellectuals, but I look at the Greek from time to time because it enhances, it doesn't change the meaning of the Bible. But there are tenses in the Greek language that we don't have in the English language. For instance, we have past tense, present tense, future tense. But in Greek, there's another tense called the aorist tense or the linear tense, which is meaning this: it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. It's linear. It goes on a line and does not stop. Here, it talks about this sheep that wanders away. It didn't just wander away for the first time. It had been going away and going away and going away on a regular basis. Now watch this. The shepherd says, I can get somebody to watch these 99, and my dog and this other person can keep guard on them. And the shepherd left the fold to go after that lost sheep. And the Bible says that he picked him up and put him on his shoulders and carried him back. Here's what you don't understand about that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Means I shall not want for anything.
Right.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That word maketh means this. That is a sheep that perpetually goes away. And to protect the sheep, the shepherd will reach down and pick up that sheep. And he'll take the front leg and he'll break it. Snap it. And he'll put it back together and he'll wrap it up. If you've just had your leg broken, you're not going to feel like walking.
That's right.
And he carries that sheep back to the fold. And he sets him down on the ground and he makes him lie down in green pastures. That's exactly what this is talking about here. He left the fold. He found the sheep. He put it on his shoulders. He broke its leg. He wound it back up and came back and said, look, I have found my lost sheep, and I'm making it to where he can't leave the fold and the protection of the fold. He's less apt to wander away and get eaten by a coyote or a wolf or a lion. He didn't do it because he hated chasing the sheep. He did it to protect his life so that he could be useful.
Amen.
Now watch this. Our sin blinds us. Our pride gets in our way. We think we're better than we are. Pardon the crudeness. We think we're hot snot. We're nothing but a cold booger. We think we're something. We have arrived. Well, just about the time you think you've arrived, you're going to find out life is going to kick you right square in the teeth. God gives every church a pastor. One of the terms used for pastor is shepherd. Part of my job is to shepherd the sheep, the flock that God's given me, and to take care of you, make sure that you're well, and we stay in the fold. And if one leaves the fold, it's my job to go after them and bring them back. Now listen to me. I'm not here to play God. I am not God, and everybody in the world ought to be happy.
Amen.
Trust me, there would be nobody left. I'd be like, God, I'm just going to kill them all. Let's blow this popsicle stand and start over. But God's more patient than I am, that is for sure. Can I tell you something? Somebody spiritually has to lead, though. That's what the preacher's job is. It doesn't mean I am necessarily more spiritual, but I've been at it a lot longer than most people in this room. I've helped more people than anybody in this room. In 40 years of preaching, 31 years full-time in the ministry, and all the people and the millions of people that I've worked with, talked to, helped, counseled, witnessed to, unbelievable amount of people. Can I tell you something? I've learned a little bit about life. I've learned a lot about death. You see, there are some times you're not going to understand because you don't look through life with the spirituality and the long-termness that a pastor may see something. And sometimes even it's about your own health. Sometimes Miss Wally and I, she was a nurse forever. I'm not going to tell you because I'll get in trouble. But a long time. And she is often amazed. She'll say, "Preacher, you know more than some doctors know." Well, I've worked with sometimes in some cases more people than the doctors worked with. I see those patterns. I understand. By the way, God made our bodies. He is the great physician. Amen. Now, listen to me very carefully. Realize God gives wisdom to the man of God to help you with your problems when you don't know what to do. It's not that I know what to do, but the Holy Spirit's in me. The Holy Spirit's in you. I'm asking him to help you so he'll give me the answer to give you the answer you need. It's not that I always know all these things. There's times I've helped people. They've walked out of my office and said, "I got to write that down. That was really good. I'm not sure where that came from, but I believe it was God." You know how many times that's happened. I'm thinking, they say, "Preacher, that's just so wise." Yeah, where'd you get that? God. He gave me the words I needed at the right time.
Right.
So, who are these sheep? They're safe people. You have a lady who lost a coin. Did she lose somebody else's coin? Whose coin did she lose? Her coin. So that can't be a salvation thing because she lost something that was already hers. And you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Just like once you're born, you can't be unborn. Brother Josh, your wife doesn't want that baby put back in and go through that again. And I know your mama doesn't want to put you back inside because there ain't not enough room. And she wouldn't have something that ugly twice. All right. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Once you've been saved, Jesus called it being born again. Not of the flesh, but of the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is a spiritual rebirth. You can do things to make your parents upset, but it doesn't stop them from being your parents and you their child. God forbid, you could even go out and rob a bank, kill somebody. But it doesn't change who your parents are.
Right.
By the way, we'll get into this in a little while. That doesn't mean it's the parents' fault either.
Amen.
So, God says this lady lost this coin, but it was her coin. Then you have the story of the prodigal son. Listen to me. The prodigal son, and look at me for a second here. He was an adult. He wasn't a child. He got his inheritance. He left. He lost it all. And he said, "Look, I'm feeding hogs. I'm a Jew feeding a bunch of hogs. I could go back and live better as a servant to my dad than I'm living out here on my own. I'm going to go back and just be a hired servant of my dad's. And at least I'll have... three squares and a cot. Doesn't have to take a gun to go rob a bank to get it either. All right? There is something humorous about that. Don't worry. Ellen's cackling for a reason. Can I tell you something? We're going to get a dozen eggs over there in a second. Can I tell you something? That man didn't lose somebody else's child. He lost his.
That's
But did you ever notice he didn't go looking for it?
That's right.
Can I use you for a second, son? This is my son. But he's 28 years old? 29. Man, 30's coming. Let me see here. He cuts his hair short so he can't tell what color it is. I've earned every one of those, trust me. I don't care what color it is. I just need it all to stay in. Now, wait a minute. This is my son. But he's married. Has his own home. He doesn't have to obey me anymore. If he decides to do something wrong as his dad, why is that my fault? When he was a young adult, college age, he went through a rough time. Got kicked out of college. Bible college. Took him a couple years, but he got himself squared away. Got his head back, and he humbled himself and went back and finished college and graduated very well. And married even better.
Oh, yeah.
I did teach him one thing. Marry up, son. Just marry up. You can do a lot of bad things in life. Marry up, and she'll help you. Amen? Can I tell you? I taught Michael the same thing, and he did well. Now, listen to me. I don't control him. He's my son. If he did bad, I would be there for him. But I can't force him to do right. It's his choice. Notice the dad never went looking for it because that was an adult young man traveling abroad in a foreign country. So it wasn't the dad's responsibility to bring him home. Have a seat. Point number two. Who are these sheep? They're safe people. Number two, what's the purpose of the sheep? Now, please don't take this personally, but sheep aren't real smart. Matter of fact, God says that they're dumb. If you had a flock of sheep and you put a board down and you make them, the first one jump over it, the first two or three jump over that board, you can slide the board out and the rest of the sheep will jump in the very same spot with no board. Because they saw the one in front of them do it. So they think they have to do it. Sounds like a church to me. They did it. It's okay. Sounds like a bunch of teenagers. Sheep aren't real smart, and they stay in a flock to help protect them. There's strength in numbers, so to speak. Say, what's the job of a sheep? The job of a sheep is to eat food, grow, and have more sheep. And they let their fur grow and they use the wool. And then when they get too old to use the wool, they become food.
Amen.
Amen?
Taste the treats.
That's right. Now, but the job of a sheep is to stay in the fold and keep reproducing in the fold.
That's right.
They're to constantly be reproducing. What's the job of the Christian? To keep reproducing. We're supposed to go out, take our salvation to a lost and dying world, teach them how to get saved, bring them into the church, and teach them how to take their salvation out into the world and get people saved and bring them into the church and teach them how, and just keep it going perpetually.
Right.
It is the job of the sheep or the church member to constantly be reproducing or adding in their life. Everybody look at me. Please don't take this as though I'm talking about me. But the sheep isn't supposed to judge the shepherd and say, I don't like that shepherd. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the fact that he does this in church. His announcements are too long. He sometimes gets on people. I think he's a little too rough. Can I tell you something? The grass might be greener on the other side of the fence, but oftentimes it's AstroTurf.
That's right.
Devil has a way of making it look good, but there's no value in it.
Right.
Amen. That shepherd that you're looking at might be a wolf in shepherd's clothing.
That's right.
This preacher's not afraid to tell you who's bad.
Say
why? Because it's my job to warn you so that you don't destroy yourself. My goal is to teach you truth so bad reveals itself. But just remember, you're not around it like I am. Boy, that's a good statement. It's a shame that the average church member in America lasts about 4 years in church before they leave. In America, the average church member lasts 4 years. When I started preaching 30 years ago, that average was 7 years. It's down to 4 years in the last 30 years. That's tragic. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Your children should not cause you to change because they're getting older. I know people that they love church till the young people become teenagers, and then they can't control their teenagers, and then they blame it on the preacher that he's too hard and too rough, and let's go find something more like what my kids want. Well, do you ask them what they want for dinner, and you have Skittles and jelly beans and Tutti Frutti for dinner every week? Child shouldn't be making the decision. That's the adult's job. Everybody doing all right? There's a word in my home. It was called, yeah.
There you go.
Amen. He knows what that meant. Pay attention. Something's about to get slapped if I don't listen. So, there's a shepherd. Number three. How do we deal with stray sheep? Now, Brother Josh, I'm going to use you. And Brother Barnes, can I borrow you for a second? You're going to be my sheep. Boy, that's a big sheep. Matter of fact, it looks more like a... Anyway. I didn't say any animal. Now, you're thinking bad things on me. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that. Here's two sheep in the fold. But this sheep decides he's going to leave the fold and go somewhere. Jump off the platform or go somewhere else and just... You know, don't break the baptistry, all right? Just wander around out there for a while. Now, wait a minute. As that sheep's out in the wilderness, this one's staying where he's supposed to be, but he says, wait a minute, that's my friend. That's one of my best friends. I think I could help my friend, so he leaves to go help his friend. Keep wandering in the wilderness. Keep wandering. Catch him. Now stop. Catch up with him, Brother Josh. Now wait a second. Everybody look at me for a second. Is Brother Josh's intent right?
No.
Yes, it is. He really wants to help his friend. He has a great desire to bring him back, but what happened to him in the process? He became stray himself. You don't leave the fold to go after somebody that's stray. Come on back, fellas. Because when you leave the fold, you become stray. The sheep or old goat leaves. And he leaves the fold. He sees that his friend is gone, but his job is to come to the shepherd. And tell the shepherd what's going on. Keep running. Don't run. It's my job to take him. I am not going to put him on my shoulders and carry him back. Come on back. It's like riding a mule. Mule train. Anyway, your job as a sheep is to let the shepherd know somebody's gone. But it's the shepherd's job to go after the lost sheep.
That's right.
Say why? That's what I've been trained to do.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Thank you, fellas. Have a seat. Look at me. I wonder how many people are out of church today. Brother Mike. Well, that's my friend. They're wandering. I'm going to go after them. They get out in the world and the devil gets them too. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've seen it happen thousands of times. You see, you're vulnerable to attack. You lose your sense of direction and you get scared because you're out in a place you should not be. So, the shepherd goes out, has to be a little harsh. Try to get them back. But the shepherd doesn't bring them back and say, "Everybody, let me tell you what this sheep did. Be a cold day where the booger man lives before I take one of our people that does something wrong and stand them up here and tell you all the bad that they did." That's between them and God, not between you and anybody else. That's wicked as Hades. It's my job to bring them back, nurse them to health, and keep them in the fold so they can keep reproducing in the fold. Not because I'm angry, but because I love him. I love him. I don't want him to go astray. I love him. I don't want him to go astray, even if he has a great desire to help him. You're not strong enough. You let the shepherd take it. Not because I'm Superman. And no, I'm not pulling my shirt off to show you no S. All right? I don't wear underoos like others. By the way, this is how you treat a sheep, not a goat. A goat, you can't control. Sometimes there was a goat in the sheep pasture trying to be a sheep. You let the goat go, he'll mess your sheep up. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We didn't read the story of the prodigal son for time's sake. But do you remember that the dad did not go looking?
Sorry.
Can I tell you why? The dad was looking. And his name is God. It wasn't the earthly father's responsibility because that young man was an adult. Just like if I went to him and chase him and say, "You're doing wrong. I got to drag you back to the fold." He's a married man with his own house. I have no right to do that.
Amen.
But it's your son. He's an adult.
That's right.
I've taught him all I can while he was under my leadership. It's up to him to choose from there. Folks, we have people in this room. You beat yourself up because your kids haven't turned out the way you wished they had, but it's not your fault. It's their choice.
Amen.
Quit beating yourself up. Oh, I didn't say it's not going to still hurt. I didn't say that your heart wouldn't be broken. But quit blaming yourself. You're still at home. Keep the home fire burning. Notice it's the shepherd's job to make sure there's a... The dad said, "I'll keep something open here. In case he gets tired of it, he can come back." He's not going to be restored to ownership here. He's not going to be in leadership here. But at least he could have a place to live, a job to do, and a living to make.
Amen.
He won't be the favored son. But at least he won't be destroyed. Listen to me very carefully. Grace Baptist Church, this ought to be a place where stray sheep can come back.
Amen.
No matter what the reason.
Right.
Quit looking down your Pharisaical snoot thinking you know something. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. I say this often. You're made out of dirt. I'm made out of dirt. Let's quit comparing dirt. Dirt's still dirt. Doesn't matter how dirty or how clean your dirt is, it's still dirt.
Amen.
We're all sinners. But when you see somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, you don't say, "Hey, where you been? Out in the pig pen?" I've been in churches like that. Old brother so-and-so, he's finally back, been gone for years. Come on up here, brother so-and-so, let's tell him what you done. Oh, Lord. Brother so-and-so comes back to Grace Baptist Church. This is how it ought to be. Hey, brother, good to see you.
Yeah, amen.
Glad you're here. Have a seat. You don't know this. In the last year, one of my most vicious enemies walked through the door of that church. And you greeted them in, and so did I. Attacked over and over, over again. Preacher, you let him in? You better know it. You better know it. I want them to be right with the Lord. I want them to be happy in fellowship with God. Just because they treated me wrong doesn't mean they treat everybody wrong. By the way, sometimes people treat you wrong because they believe wrong information. They're not bad people. They're broken just like you. And I'm so proud of our church. You just greeted them happily. Good to have you. You had no idea. Say, "Preacher, who was it?" Not going to tell you. None of your business. But I thank God that they had the guts to come. And I was so proud of our church because of the way you handled it. Close with this. I knew a deacon in a good church. He had a friend that went astray. Brother Steve, this deacon said, "I'm a leader in the church. I think I can help this guy." I said, "No, you can't." I said, "Worst thing you could do is go after him." He went after him. In a couple weeks, he had cheated on his wife. Over and over and over and over again. And I mean to the point where his mistresses were calling his wife and cussing her out. This is a deacon in a Baptist church. Period of about a year, he left his wife for another man. And a few years later died of AIDS. You say, why did it happen? Because he thought he was strong enough to go after a stray sheep. Young people, listen to me. I don't care how long you've been in church. You're not that strong yet.
Amen.
You don't know as much as you think you do. You haven't been beat up by the devil yet. "Well, you don't know how hard it's been on me, preacher." Hang in there. You're just getting started. Grace Baptist Church, I've done everything I know to do to help you understand how we're supposed to take care of stray sheep. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to welcome them back to the fold. We're supposed to warn the shepherd that somebody might be going stray. But don't you chase them.
Amen.
You let me chase the ones that need chased. You can tell me for sure. But don't tell everybody else. Don't put it on Facebook.
Amen.
"Well, these folks, they left our church and we need to pray for it." Okay, that's gossip. That's wicked as the devil.
Amen.
Put your face in the book and get off Facebook.
Amen.
Get on your face before God for a while find out how to take care of the situation. Let me ask you a question. Are you even saved? Are you even a sheep? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can I tell you something? It'd be the greatest thing in your life. Maybe you're a sheep that's been hurt. You're struggling. Can I tell you something? You can kneel at an old-fashioned altar and get things right. Maybe there's a marriage that's struggling. How about you come, both of you, crawling together, kneel at an altar and get things right? Because if this relationship is right, this relationship will be right.
Sure.
Promise you. Maybe you just have a heartache or a burden. Say, preacher, I don't know how to carry it. Come on to the altar. It doesn't fix it because you knelt here, but it does show God you're humble enough to at least ask him. You can come see me anytime you want. You can call me anytime you want. I'll help you every way I can. But do me a favor, don't go chasing stray sheep. That's not your job. I say that not because I think I'm somebody. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I'm tired of watching people get destroyed. I love you too much. I don't want you destroyed. Are you staying in the fold? Are you reproducing in the fold? I'm talking just give out a gospel tract. Invite somebody to church. Just do something to help the fold. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. It's a little different, I know, but I promise you, it's biblical. Would you give everybody the respect they deserve? Say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? Okay. You may put. Would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something God was talking to me about today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for it today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you raised your hand saying, God's working on my heart for something. How about you leave your seat and come to an old-fashioned altar and tell God what it is? And stay in the fold and keep reproducing in the fold. I'm not trying to build a big church. This isn't about numbers for church. This is about helping people. Real lives.